We can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and then I'm going to meet you there in just a few moments. But first, these thoughts. This is the time of year for vacations. In fact, many of you maybe returned this week from vacation. Still others will be returning later today or tomorrow in our community because of spring break. And let's say just for a moment that money was no object and you got to choose where you got to go on vacation. Now I have your attention, don't I? We'll foot the bill and you get to go wherever you want. Maybe if you were to pick a destination, you might pick a mountain location. Maybe like this one, Lake Louise, Alberta in Canada. Beautiful landscape. Or maybe you would go to this landscape, a mountainscape in Norway. You like to hike and you go out on these beautiful peaks and you get to stand out there and see the world and how peaceful it is and the beauty of it all. Maybe you're not so much into mountains. You're more of a beach type person. Maybe this beach destination, Hawaii, would satisfy your soul. A beautiful place just to relax. Or maybe this location in Bora Bora. Beautiful little huts there out into the water. That's a gorgeous place. Now, maybe those two don't do it for you. You'd like to go to an all-inclusive resort and spa. Everything is paid ahead of time. You get as much food as you want. You get any spa treatment that you want. You can get massages multiple times a day. You stay in one location. You just relax by the pool and the ocean. That sounds great. Maybe you're into scuba diving. So you like to go to a scuba diving location. You can see all the beautiful fish that God created there on the reefs, and you get to explore the underwater world. Or maybe you're more of a person like to go to Europe, maybe to the coasts of Greece, and you see this beautiful setting of the villas along the water. That's gorgeous. Wonderful place to go. Well, let me ask you this. Even now, if we start to dream about a vacation spot, it starts to lift some burdens, doesn't it? It's like, wow, if I could go there someday, that would be great. And you feel some of the weight of this world start to fade away, even if it's just for a moment before you snap back to reality. But let me ask you this. How would our future plans for our vacation change our present mood and direction in life? Here's a few things I jotted down. Going on vacation to a beautiful destination gets you excited. You know that it's coming. It helps you in our present daily grind. It makes you look forward to your time there. It gives you new perspective on your troubles because you know that in 2 weeks from now, man, this is all going to be gone. I can escape it all, even if it's just for a week or two. Also, it helps you to get your work done more purposefully and more diligently because when I'm on vacation, I don't want any texts. I don't want any emails. Don't call me. I want all of my projects at work wrapped up and everything in order so I can just go away. And we need that, don't we? And so dreaming of vacations and even having one booked really helps us in life to get through the daily grind. Now, if this were the Oprah show, I would be announcing right now that everyone here gets a free 2-week vacation to a destination of your choice. Yeah. This is not the Oprah show. Yeah, amen. And I will be announcing no such thing. However, Oprah can only give us a temporary vacation. But God, on the other hand, can give us a permanent destination, the gift of a permanent destination that is referred to in the Bible as, get this, as paradise. Don't you want to go to paradise? Don't you want to go somewhere that really is paradise? Sure, we can go to a beach destination that looks like paradise, but it's still tainted by sin and all this stuff. But to really go to a place called paradise. When we see God's paradise, it will be a jaw-dropping situation, an experience that we've never had before. We'll get there and say, I can't believe how beautiful this place is, and I can't believe how beautiful you are, Lord. It'll be a jaw-dropping experience. And so today, as we talk about the gift of heaven, I want to talk to us about 4 jaw-dropping realities about heaven. But first, if God's going to do any work in us today, we need to bow in prayer and just ask him to do his work in us. So please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of heaven. And I thank you, God, that you've given us a place to go to by Christ that we can dream of, that we can work hard here and do your work, but we have a place of rest that you've reserved for those who trust in you. And so, God, speak to us today by your Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Minister to us however you need to. Have your way in our hearts. Let our hearts not be hard, but soft and supple to what you might say to us today. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, here's the first jaw-dropping reality about heaven, and that is that heaven is a real place. Now, during the worship singing, we had one of our scriptures read, our main scripture, John 14, 1 through 3. Just a couple of quick notes. Jesus says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I'm going to come and get you so that where I am, you may be also." The most common notion in our culture of heaven is this. It's a mysterious world of spirit beings who float around on cumulus clouds and strum harps. Okay, that's the common notion of heaven. Scripture knows nothing of such nonsense, we might say. Scripture presents heaven as a real place. It's real. Heaven is described in the Bible as a temple, as a garden, as a city. It's described as God's house in our main passage for today. We are not going to be disembodied spirits, but we're going to be fully healthy physical beings with resurrected bodies in physical surroundings. Yes, it will be supernatural, but it will still be physical, because God created the physical world to be good. So how do we know that heaven is a real place? Well, heaven is the Father's home. Multiple times in Scripture we see this indicated. Jesus says, "There are plenty of rooms in my Father's house." That's in our passage for today. Jesus also says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." It's a literal place. It's a place where we will dwell. We will transfer from this life into the next, a physical place. In the book of Matthew, the phrase, "the kingdom of heaven," is used 31 times. Jesus uses the phrase, "heavenly Father," 6 times, and he says, "the Father who is in heaven," 14 times. So heaven is God's home. That's where he lives. That's where he dwells. That's where his blessing and glory are fully shown. That's why it says in the Lord's Prayer, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There is physical activity going on in heaven right now. God's will is getting done without question. Heaven is a real place. It's the Father's home, but it's also Jesus' home. In John 6:38, Jesus says, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." John 16:28, "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father." It's Jesus' home. We might say that heaven is Jesus' hometown. How do we know to get to heaven? Well, Jesus can take you there. He knows he lived there. He came to this earth, and now that's where he resides at the right hand of God. If you were to go on a trip to Arizona and you met some new people and you told, you know, you do the common banter of where you're from and all that stuff, and you said Findlay, Ohio, and they said, "Well, where's Findlay? How do you get there?" We could tell them how they get to Findlay, Ohio, because that's our hometown. Likewise, heaven is Jesus' hometown, so he says, "This is the way to get to heaven," and we'll talk about that in a few minutes from now. Heaven is also where treasure can be stored. Matthew 6:20, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, it is wise to have a retirement account while we're on this earth and to send some money ahead for retirement, but it is even wiser to send our treasure on ahead into the heavenly kingdom by investing in people, by investing in God's work, in getting an eternal reward rather than a temporal one. So if heaven is not a place, then how in the world could we store treasure there, store reward ahead of us? Also, heaven is a place to be entered into. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus says very clearly, "Many will say to him on that day, 'Lord, we did all these things in your name.'" And he says, "These ones will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the ones who will enter into the kingdom of heaven are those who did the will of the Father." So heaven can be entered into. It's a real place. Just as today, you got in your car or you walked here to 2515 Heatherwood Drive, Findlay Evangelical Free Church, and you came through the front door and you are sitting before me, and I'm standing before you. heaven is a place just as this is a place. It's a real place. Jesus highlights the reality of heaven in order to bring peace to the disciples. He says there in verse 1 in our Bibles, don't let your heart be troubled or stirred up. Don't let it be anxious. Be trusting in God and be trusting in me. And he says the very fact that heaven is a place should bring a calm and peace to you. He says, if it weren't this way, I would have told you. I'm not putting you on here. I'm telling you the truth. And so heaven is a real place. Here's a second jaw-dropping reality, and that is that heaven is a real place of unimaginable beauty and joy. Now, even if I were the most eloquent person in the world, and I am not, even if I possessed all of the words that could describe heaven, I still wouldn't be able to describe it to its fullest extent and its highest potential. It would be impossible. Heaven is unimaginably beautiful. Now, in the Bible, we learn of a couple of things here. First of all, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, which is Revelation 21 and 22. In the meantime, there is what has been labeled by theologians. It's not in the Bible, but it's an intermediate heaven. It's a real heaven where we go to now before the new heavens and the new earth. It's a physical place where we dwell with Jesus. The Apostle John sees this heaven in Revelation 4, 5, and 7, and he describes what he sees in heaven. He sees a rainbow of colors. He sees colors and descriptions such as, it is like jasper, it is like emerald. It's like a sea of glass, like crystal. If you were to read through the book of Revelation, which I had the privilege of doing again this week, you would see him using words all the time like, it is like this, it is like that, which tells us it's unrecognizable to him. He can't fully describe what he sees. He says, I've seen something like it here on this earth, but I've not seen anything that fully captures what heaven is all about. It's like this, but it's so much more. You see that? Heaven is of unimaginable beauty and joy. Now, when we talk about the new heaven and the new earth, which will be a reality very soon, in Revelation 21 and 22, he describes the new Jerusalem as a city of pure gold. You know, we treasure our necklaces and our rings and our bracelets, which are made of gold, and they're just this little... How about a whole city made of gold? How about that? Can you top that? It's so beautiful. It's so full of riches and honor and majesty and magnificence that the whole city is made of gold. We use drywall and 2x4s and steel. God uses gold to build his structures. It talks about being adorned with every kind of precious stone, sapphire and emerald and topaz and amethyst and on, these beautiful precious jewels that we pay so much money for. It'll be building materials in heaven. Gates of pearls, beautiful. A crystal clear river of life, a tree of life which bears its fruit in season. It's a place of absolute beauty. We've never been anywhere like it on earth, even if you've been to one of the most beautiful places in this world. Heaven is also unimaginably joyous. In heaven, right now. You thought our singing was good this morning? There is worship of Jesus Christ by the multitudes happening there. Unbridled worship of Jesus because of his unmatched awesomeness. You can't help but respond in worship. That's how awesome Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is. Myriads and myriads of angels worshiping the Lord. Saints clothed in white garments because it's a sign of utter purity and righteousness. People from every nation are before God's throne. They've been redeemed by the Lamb and they sing his praises in unison. It's a beautiful place, unimaginably joyous. Heaven is so amazing that in Philippians chapter 1, 23, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I'm hard pressed from both sides. I want to stay here and help you, but I want to depart and go to be with the Lord, for that is very much better, he says. Some translations, it is better by far. He's like, I know I have to stay here with you guys, but I sure would love to be there to be with the Lord. That's how awesome it is. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Heaven is also unimaginably pure, unimaginably pure. There's a common notion that heaven is a place where all of my guilty pleasures are in abundant supply. But let's just say it this way. Heaven is not Las Vegas on steroids, okay? It's not a place where I can get this anytime I want and this anytime I want. Why? Because there will be no unrighteousness there. No sin, no anything of wickedness. It's a place of absolute purity. It's called the Holy City. And that's where joy, true joy, is found, because we're no longer shackled by the chains of sin. Now, we're going to experience a lot of wonderful new things in heaven if you know Christ as your Savior. But there's going to be a lot of things that we will never experience again in heaven. And we can shout a mighty hallelujah for these things that I'm going to list. First of all, there will be no more pain. All in favor of no more pain? Right. No more wheelchairs. No more walkers, no more hearing aids, no more eyeglasses, no more insulin shots, no more pacemakers, or pace workers, if there are such a thing, etc., etc. No more pain. Revelation chapter 7 says this: they will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That abuse that you suffered here on earth, it's gone. It's okay. I've healed that. The injustice that you've felt on earth has been done to you, it's gone. The pain of losing a child at a young age, or a brother or a sister or a loved one, it's gone. It's healed miraculously. It's just gone. In those tears that we shed, the Lord himself will wipe them away off our cheek. Isn't that awesome? Unimaginable beauty and joy, no more pain, no more evil. Revelation 21, 27, nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No more manipulation, no more robbery, no more scheming for murder. Evil is gone, eradicated. There's also no more darkness. Revelation 22, 5, there will no longer be any night. They will not have neither the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. The glory of God will illumine the city of God and the heaven of God. Wonderful place. Also, there will be no more hardship. Revelation 14, verse 13 says this: I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are they, the dead, who die in the Lord from now on. Let's stop just there. Is this a common phrase that we would see in our day and age, where we sell anti-aging cream and we have plastic surgery and we say, stay fit so that you can live longer? Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. For the believer in Jesus Christ, there is a lot of reasons for us to stay here to fulfill our responsibilities, but there's no reason for us to cling to this life as if it's all we have. We have eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. For those who've trusted in Jesus Christ, this world is not our home. We're heading to our heavenly city, which is our true home. So blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. He continues, yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Work for the Lord and whatever God has called you to put your hand to in this life, because your labors will be rewarded and you will finally have absolute rest. No more hardship. No more curse. Revelation 22, 3, there will no longer be any curse. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 20, in heaven, there is neither moth nor rust who destroys. There are not thieves who break in and steal. The curse that was handed down against humanity when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and paradise was locked up is now eradicated, and that curse will be a distant memory. The former things, everything that we experience now, has passed away when we get to heaven. No more curse. Creation itself will be released from its bondage and will be ready and able to flourish to whatever God desires it to be. Here are some people who will be out of work when we get to heaven. Funeral directors, police officers, security system technicians, electricians, all medical personnel, will be out of a job and pastors. No more work for me in heaven. The Lamb of God is there because it's a place where there's no more pain, no more evil, no more darkness, no more hardship, no more curse. And also, heaven is unimaginable paradise. Three times in the Bible, the word paradise is used to describe heaven. It's a word that is taken from the Persians, an ancient word meaning garden or park. And the Bible writers, through the Holy Spirit, have taken this term and now applied it to the paradise that was lost in the Garden of Eden and we were locked out of. And now it will be completely restored and we'll be in the paradise of God. So much more than just a garden or a park, but so much everything that the Garden of Eden was and was to be had there not been sin. In 2 Corinthians 12:4, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I was caught up into paradise. I don't know whether that was in the body or out of the body. I'm not sure. But I had a revelation from God. I was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. That's 2 Corinthians 12:4. He can't even tell us how awesome it is. Revelation 2:7, Jesus himself says, to him who overcomes, listen to this, please. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I will grant it to you if you will overcome and follow after me. Heaven will be so unimaginably beautiful and joyous. It'll be majorly upgraded landscapes and unhindered relationships and pure love and absolute peace and full security. Jaw-dropping reality. Here's a third one. Heaven is a gift because Jesus is alive. Now, I don't want anybody here today to leave without hearing this. Heaven is not earned. This might rattle your thinking. This might rock your system of thought that you have. That if I just do enough stuff, if I just get enough good things on that scale, and man, when I get to the judgment, it might be close, but woof. My good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds. Let me speak very honestly with you. That is a very bad plan. That will not work. Every one of us have sinned against a holy and righteous God, and even if we just sinned once, we'd be separated from him, but we've blown that one out of the water. We are in need of God's grace, his mercy, and God is a God of justice, absolutely, and if he were to wipe us off the face of the earth, he would be justified in doing that, but because of his grace and his mercy, he died on the cross so that my sins could be forgiven, canceled out, and I could have the gift of heaven. Heaven is not earned. Heaven is a gift that we receive by faith. Romans 6:23 tells us, so the wages of sin is death. We deserve physical death and spiritual death in hell because of our sins. It might be a new concept to you, but it is the truth. But, thankfully, for the rest of this verse, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that awesome? He's given us the free gift. Will you receive it? Just take it. Just take it. Open it. Don't stare at it. Take it. Receive it for yourself. In 1 John 2:25, we're told that the promise which God himself made to us is eternal life. Okay, now get this. Follow this reasoning. In Titus 1:2, it says we have the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. It's not that God doesn't lie as if he's some very moral being. It's that he cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. It's not in his nature. So when he says, you have eternal life through my son, he means it. There's no finagling. There's no loopholes. It's here. This is the promise. Eternal life. Take it or leave it. That's what God says. And heaven is a gift. It's a gift because Jesus is alive. We sang that in some of our songs. John 14:19, Jesus says, because I live, you will live also, by no power of our own, but by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Apostle Paul says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with God. Because we are united by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the guarantee of eternal life, and it's a guaranteed gift. It is not a guaranteed wage that we've earned. Hope that we see that today. Now, we've talked a little bit about how heaven is unimaginably beautiful and joyous, and there's going to be so many awesome things in heaven that we haven't experienced yet, but this is why heaven is heaven, because God gives us the gift of himself. That's why heaven is heaven. Even if there weren't beauty and relationships of all the family members who've gone before us, even if none of that existed, having Christ and the Lord himself as our gift in heaven would be enough. In our passage for today, in John 14:3, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's the gift of Jesus. And then in Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4, says this, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. And please read for me that first part of verse 4. It says, it's you. You're the one who died for me. You're the one who rescued me from my sin. It's you. I can't believe it. And Jesus will look at you and say, I love you. I died for you. Welcome home. We're going to get to see his face. We're going to get to look in his eyes. And he's going to communicate so much to us with just a look, his tender mercies. We shall see his face. Keep that picture in your mind when you're having a tough work week or tough time in your family. I'm going to see his face. I'm going to be there, Lord. Wayne Grudem writes in his book on theology, he says, when we look into the face of our Lord and he looks back at us with infinite love, we will see in him the fulfillment of everything that we know to be good and right and desirable in the universe. In the face of God, we will see the fulfillment of all the longing we've ever had to know perfect love, peace and joy, and to know truth and justice, holiness and wisdom, goodness and power and glory and beauty. When we finally see the Lord face to face, our hearts will want nothing else. Friends, that's what life is all about, to be reconnected with the God who gave us life, the source of life, the sustainer of life, the one who purchased us back out of death and hell to give us life. This is what it's all about, to know the Lord Jesus, the creator of our souls, and we will be with him forever by faith. Heaven is a gift because Jesus is alive, and it is a gift of God himself. Fourthly, the fourth jaw-dropping reality is that I can go to heaven. That statement has nothing to do with pride or who I am. It's just that I can go to heaven. As finite and as filthy as I am, as faithless as I can go to heaven. I can receive the gift of heaven and experience true life and true love and true freedom and true grace and true purpose and the one and only true God. Did you know that your name can be written and recorded in heaven? Jesus says so to his disciples. He says, rejoice in the fact that your names are recorded in heaven. The scripture also says that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents rather than the 99 people who do not need to repent. Now, let me talk very specifically to you now. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what it means in our life to know that you are on your way to heaven. Again, nothing of us. Please hear nothing of that. Not my righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Not by my merit, but by Christ's merit. This is what it means. If I know that I'm going to heaven, I can endure the pain of this life. 2 Corinthians 4:17, the Apostle Paul says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. We're going to look back and say, wow, that wasn't so tough compared to all the riches that I get to experience because of Christ. I can endure the pain of life. Also, I have no fear of death. Did you know what the Apostle Paul actually said in Philippians 1:21? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Have you heard that at Walmart before? I don't think so. But if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'll live for him as best I can right now. But if I die, hey, this is gain. Put that in our minds and our hearts and live our lives differently because of it. Thirdly, I know where I will be when I die. Two thieves were crucified on the outside of Jesus on two additional crosses. They first began to hurl insults at him just like everybody else. But as the time drew near for the one man to die, he repented. And he saw who Jesus was. And he said to the Lord, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, Jesus did, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you know what that means? That means that just minutes or hours after that thief died on the cross, he was with Jesus in paradise. We're not talking about 30 years. We're talking about by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. That assurance just totally rocks your world and gives you confidence to live for Christ, that no matter what would happen, whether I die of cancer or I'm hit by a truck, I know where I am going because of who he is. And then fourthly, I want to mention this to you, and I want to say this very seriously to you, mano y mano, as if we're sitting across the table. You give confidence to your family. Don't leave your family guessing at your funeral where you are. Don't do it. Live so wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ that then they're at that funeral, they know where mom is or where dad is or brother or sister. I have been at both kinds of funerals. I've been at the funeral people really don't know. And then the common phrase, just to kind of allay people's fears, is this, well, he's in a better place. But they don't know that. They say it just to kind of allay their fears about what happened. And it's wishful thinking. But at the Christian funeral, the one who has trusted in the Lord and lived for him, the Christians can stand by and say, he is in a better place, a whole world of difference. Don't leave your family guessing. Our time is more short than what we realize. Trust in the Lord today and live for him with all your heart. I want you as believers today to be encouraged that your future is secure because heaven is a gift by faith in Jesus Christ. It's our job to respond to that and to live for him wholeheartedly. Well, today we've looked at four jaw-dropping realities about heaven. Heaven's a real place. It's a place of unimaginable beauty and joy. It's a gift because Jesus is alive, and I, again, by your grace, I can go to heaven. Stories told of when Albert Einstein was taking a train trip out of town to an out-of-town engagement. And as the conductor came along to punch tickets, he came to Dr. Einstein, and Dr. Einstein looked around. He could not find his ticket for being on the train. Well, the conductor said, Mr. Einstein, we obviously know who you are. And I'm sure that you bought a ticket for this train. Don't worry about it. It is okay. So the conductor continued on down the car. And just as he was ready to go into the next train car, he looks back and he sees Dr. Einstein down on his hands and knees looking for his ticket. And so he comes back and he says, Mr. Einstein, sir, we know who you are. And it's okay. We trust you that you bought a ticket. And then Einstein looks up at him and says, I too know who I am. It's just that I don't know where I'm going. So let me ask you, do you know where you're going? Do you know on this day, March 31st, 2013, Findlay, Ohio, that if you were to leave this earth, if you were to check out this afternoon, do you know that you'd be in eternity in heaven when you die? The Bible makes it very clear that there are two destinations for each person sitting here today. One is hell, where there is eternal death and punishment because we've not had the payment of Christ for our sin. The other one is eternal life and bliss in heaven because we've received Christ. Do you know where you will spend eternity? And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, would today be your day? Would you transfer trust of your life into the hands of God and say, I'm not in control, you're in control, you died for me, I needed that, and I trust you that by faith you died on the cross for my sins. And you will raise me to new life when I pass from this life. The Lord's tugging on your heart if he's saying, that's it, that's what you need, come to me. So I'll bow our heads, and would you respond to him in faith? And in your heart, you can say this by faith to God. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I have sinned. I trust that when you died on the cross, you paid for my sin. I believe you defeated death by rising 3 days later. I believe that you are my Savior, and by faith I surrender my life to you, and I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer of commitment, life commitment to the Lord Jesus, I want you to tell the person who brought you. If they're a believer in Christ, say, hey, I trusted Christ today. Would you help me to grow? If you came alone today, please come forward and tell me. I want to help rejoice with you in that truth. But how can we know that we're going to heaven? Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, that is to heaven, except through me. He died for us, he rose again, that by faith in him we could have the gift of heaven. Let's all stand together. Our worship team's going to lead us in a final song to drive home these themes. And bow with me as I pray.